Are you planning to travel to Alaska with kids? In today's episode, we're talking about Alaska travel with children of all ages, including toddlers and teens. Welcome to the Alaska Uncovered podcast with me, your host, Jenny Twing Flaming. I bring you accurate, helpful, and entertaining information about Alaska travel and life in Alaska. My guest today is Erin Kirkland. Erin is Alaska's only family travel expert, developing her expertise after arriving in Alaska nearly 20 years ago with a toddler and a tween and very few resources for how to explore with kids. Erin has written two guidebooks specifically focused on traveling Alaska with kids and provided the kind of guide she wished that she had back then about the wealth of adventures that are available to families across the Great Land. A link to both her books, Alaska on the Go, Exploring the 49th State with Children, and Alaska on the Go, Exploring the Alaska Marine Highway System with Children, are in the show notes. So if you decide you want to hear more from Erin or take her with you in your pocket on your trip, pick up a copy of her book. Well, Erin, welcome to Alaska Uncovered. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks, Jay. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. So to start off with, tell us a little bit about how you got to Alaska.
Oh, gosh. It's a very funny story. So I grew up in the Pacific Northwest and never had lived anywhere else. Met and married my husband, who was with, at the time, the National Park Service here in Washington. And he decided to switch agencies. So we ended up moving briefly to Charleston, South Carolina. Now, the South is amazing, stunning history and architecture and all sorts of things. But it was very difficult for someone who grew up outside in the forests and, you know, navigating the waterways of Washington and being outside all the time. It was just a little challenging for me. So
that'd be a big change.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And I'm sorry, everyone who lives in the South, I know you love it. And I'll visit again, I promise. But when the opportunity came to go to Alaska, we just jumped on it. The only caveat was that we moved there like 3 days after Christmas in 2005. So the middle of winter.
Yeah.
And I remember us getting off the plane. I had dressed my toddler like in every layer I possibly could because I was so terrified that my poor little baby was going to freeze. And, you know, we stumble off the airplane and it's like 2:45 in the afternoon and it's getting dark.
Yeah.
And my tween is like, what the heck is going on here? Why are we living here? But then, you know, there was no Facebook. There were no, you know, mom groups online that you could find resources for. There was no parenting magazine at the time in Alaska. So unless you knew, you didn't know what to do. So I really wanted to find some access to outdoor activities and just things to do with my kids. So a couple of years later, I started this little website called AK on the Go, just because I started writing down all of the adventures that, you know, we had. And, you know, when you move somewhere new, you want to see all the things you can. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're in Alaska, you know? So that's what we started doing. And I think my youngest was about 4 when the blog launched, and just kaboom, right away, all these other parents are like, oh my gosh, this is so needed. And the niche part of travel, as far as family travel, was just starting to get going, as were websites and blogs and Facebook. Yep. So I just fell into it at exactly the right time.
Yep.
And it took off. And it was the best decision I ever made.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
So do you still have the website or no, you stopped maintaining that and just have the books?
Just the books right now. So my youngest son just graduated from high school. He's 19 now. And, you know, life, COVID kind of changed everything.
Yeah.
you know, I had an unfortunate accident last winter. And then during the middle of all of this, the website just kind of, it's very sad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff happens, but the books still sell really well. And
awesome.
One of my favorite parts about doing what I do is just opportunities like this. I love it when people shoot me an email or message me and say, hey, I want to bring my kids. What do I need to know?
Yeah.
That's to me the ultimate compliment I could ever get is somebody trusts me with information about this place that is so mysterious to a lot of people. And it's a little scary and intimidating. And I want to make it less so.
Yeah. Me too. Yep. That's why we're here. That's why this podcast exists. And I'm so glad that you were able to join us because this really is a topic that you're right, Erin. People get very intimidated or worried that their child will freeze. Mm-hmm. And so it's really great that we're doing this. So to start off with, I would love to hear a little bit about a couple of your favorite either locations or activities to do with children of different ages. So let's start with young children. Let's say babies, toddlers, preschoolers. And I know babies and preschoolers are different, but going with the, say, under five set, what are some of your favorite places to go with children that age or activities to do with them?
So I really like how you framed this under five. So because that age group, they're pre-readers. Some of them are pre-walking. So, you know, they're just becoming aware of the world around them.
Yeah.
And I think that right out of the gate, I want parents to know that yes, you should bring very young children to Alaska. And why? Because they will take in everything that's going on around them. Even if you think they're not, trust me, they are. Mm-hmm. So now that said, do you want to take them on an experience that's going to cost a lot of money for that child? Because yes, as you know, in Alaska, it's very expensive to do things.
Yeah.
So what I tell parents is ratchet down your expectation. And every family that travels with a young kid needs to recognize that all activities need to be adaptable for that kid or those children. So honestly, the best thing to do is go to a national park or a state park and just let them explore. Take a walk, take a hike. You don't have to take a guided hike. While those are super fun with young kids, as you know, you can walk 100 yards in 3 hours.
Yep. Yes.
And you have to be okay with that. So it sounds really simple, and it is. It's also super affordable. Get a little cabin somewhere and just let your kids be kids outside. One of the biggest things I've discovered with very young children is that they honestly don't have those experiences as often as we would like as parents, right? Because we're so busy during the day, the kids are going to preschool and daycare. Even if they're going to daycare, their day is pretty well regimented. So let them just be little kids. Let them feel the dirt. Let them feel the sand.
Yeah.
Let them taste a blueberry. And just that's it. That is it.
Yeah.
That's as simple as it goes. Yeah.
I love that. And I think your advice about national and state parks is really good advice. That's similar advice to what I give people who are really concerned about their budget. You know, we talked about Alaska being really expensive, and there are so many free or very low cost ways to spend your time in those places. That is really, really a great idea.
And another great thing about national parks, and in particular national parks, is that the National Park Service does such an excellent job of making accessible spaces. So let's say you have a new walker or a toddler that's just kind of all over the place.
Yep.
You know, I think about Denali in particular, is that just in the entrance area of Denali, there are miles and miles of completely accessible trails that are perfect for these littles.
Yep.
To just get a sense of where they are, somewhere different, somewhere that smells different, somewhere that feels different, sounds different. you know, just you don't feel like you, if you go to Alaska, you have to get into the deep backcountry. Just sit tight and let them be your guide here.
Yeah. Love it. That's fantastic. Okay. So what about slightly older children, school age, elementary school age children? What are some great places or activities that you would particularly recommend for them in Alaska?
Yeah, this is my favorite age group for Alaska because these kids are the doers, right? So they are really they're soaking up information every second of the day and night sometimes. So these are the kids that you want to give them as many hands-on experiences as you possibly can. So one of my favorite things to do is take them on a small ship cruise. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people hear the word cruise, and I know we're going to talk about that later, and they just recoil because we're not cruisers. No. Smaller ship cruise experience with maybe 40 people total on board the vessel. And you spend time going from point to point around Southeast Alaska, where you're going to be in just these tiny little nooks and crannies of the coastal region that is just stunningly beautiful for us parents. Yep. But yeah, you get these kids to the beaches and get them hiking and hiking where there's no trails, or get them in a kayak for the first time. Love it. They love it. They'll absolutely love it. And if you go with a company that really truly understands working with kids, you'll need to do your homework. Then it's even better because then you've got crew on board who are totally down with, hey, look, we pulled up a fish that was floating on the water. Let's dissect it.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So though this age group is just ripe for just about anything in Alaska.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I would just add to that. And I love those suggestions. And if you are not doing a cruise, looking for boat tours, I think is also really, I've been on a lot of field trips on boat tours with this age group. And like, if you're on the boat tour and they pull ice out of the water, I mean, there's going to be more people on board, but like, I don't know. I think that also is kind of a cool experience to like see something different or get to touch the ice or things like that.
Again, though, if being on a larger day tour vessel, just remember that there's going to be more people and a little less personal interaction. So again, what I like to do is find those smaller companies.
Yep.
And there's so many of them out there.
Yeah,
who will do the same thing, but tailor it toward your kid.
Yeah.
This is the time, folks, if you're going to go on a vacation and you're really like, this is your, I hate the term bucket list, but whatever.
I hate it too.
This is your bucket list.
It means something. Yeah.
This is the time to invest. And that's what you're doing. You're investing in your kids. Invest in the experiences that are really going to have the highest impact. And if you go out, and like you say, pick up the ice. Well, this is going to lead to a whole nother discussion, isn't it? Because look what's happening in Alaska right now and all over the circumpolar north with glaciers and climate change. And so you can have a larger discussion without worrying about, you know, the boat has to get somewhere else because they're on an agenda. Finding those folks who are really going to equally invest in your kids from their end. And you'll come back after a 4-hour cruise and all of you will have learned something.
Yeah, that is great advice. Are there any companies or guides in particular, Aaron, that you would recommend for that off the top of your head?
Yes, I love Seward Ocean Excursions in Seward. Bixler McClure is unbelievable. And I'm going to text him and tell him that we chatted because I really am impressed. He's also a dad. He gets it.
Yeah.
And he'll take the time to really explain what's happening in whatever season. And they go almost 4 seasons. So that's another thing. Don't be afraid to look and see what, you know, this isn't only a June through September kind of thing.
Yes.
Look at what's happening in the environment at different times of the year.
Yeah.
And Lazy Otter Charters in out of Whittier is also excellent.
Cool.
Company for these smaller boat experiences.
Yes. And I totally agree with you about that, Aaron, that if you can figure out how to make it work to be in a smaller group experience with your kids, that will always yield more personal attention and more attention that is, you know, specifically at towards them.
Yeah.
And not just towards the majority of people who will be adults.
Well, and the average age of an Alaska visitor, while it is coming down a little bit, is still around 55.
Yep.
So, you know, no shade to the tourist companies, but they need to provide to the greatest number of people. So when you can find someone who really caters to young folks, and I've worked really hard to help them all see that.
Yes.
It's really benefiting everybody.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. So what about same question for teenagers? What are some really great places or activities to consider if you're traveling with teens?
Well, the first thing with teens is that you need to get them out to a place in Alaska where there is no cell service or internet. And I kid you not, it's because having teenager right now,
yes.
I know, even though he's very amenable to adventures, he is a teenager and they want to stay connected.
Yep.
But that said, this is the time these kids weigh enough, they're tall enough to do lots of the big adrenaline rush stuff, like zip lining and climb the Via Ferrata, like Tordrillo Lodge over in the Tordrillo Mountains west of Anchorage has the only Via Ferrata in Alaska, which is, I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's like you're climbing a mountain, but using cables to get up there.
Cool. I was just going to ask you what that is because I have no idea.
So okay. It's actually
that sounds so fun.
Yeah. So it actually was created in Italy back during World War II. It's called and Via Ferrata stands for Iron Way or Iron Road. And so it was a way for Italian troops to kind of get up into their mountains and watch out for invading parties to come through. And so they figured out a way to get way up into these rocky, steep areas. So stuff that's going to push your teenager a little bit beyond their comfort zone is worth its weight in gold. The minute you see your teen who was, you know, 20 minutes ago griping about why'd you bring me on this stupid vacation, you know, all of a sudden they light up because dang, look what I just did.
Yes.
Right. Yep. Look what, or bear viewing. I get asked a lot about the appropriate age for bear viewing with kids, and teenagers at 100% can and should do it because talk about feeling uncomfortable if you're bear viewing with an outfit that really gets you into, you know, what's happening with the bears. Some are like Brooks Falls or, you know, out in Katmai on the beaches of Katmai is pretty amazing. So do the adventure stuff with teenagers. They'll love you for it.
Yes.
Even if they won't tell you.
Yes, I totally agree with that. It's so true.
Yeah. And find things for teens to do, especially if you're going with your whole family. Find things that they could do without you.
Yeah.
So back to the small boat cruise. What is my favorite thing to do? Because occasionally I would go on board and be like the kid wrangler. We'd have onboard summer camp when there's a lot of kids. So
fun.
It was really nice to be able to tell parents, you know what? They'll be fine. They're 15, 16 years old. They can absolutely hop on a stand-up paddleboard or kayak and go paddle around. They know the rules.
Yep.
That's huge for kids now. And you know, we talked about earlier before the show, kids riding buses alone and doing things alone. We need to give them the space to do that. And Alaska is a really excellent location for that kind of stuff.
Yep. It absolutely is. Love it. Okay. So, Erin, what advice do you have for parents about getting their kids and teens involved in planning their trip to Alaska? I am a big believer in involving as many people in the travel crew in planning the adventure as possible. For a lot of reasons, and obviously your baby probably won't be able to help with planning the trip, but even pretty young children can definitely engage in that. So what are some of the suggestions you have for parents about how to get other family members, especially the kids, involved in planning the trip?
I always tell folks when they reach out to me is that you've got to figure out what experiences everyone wants to have.
Yes.
So, and I say this about adults as well. Like,
yes,
you know, they say, we're going to come to Alaska. I say, well, what do you want to do here?
Yeah.
Because if the activities range from salmon fishing to skiing, this is going to be a little challenging, right?
Yeah.
So, so same goes for with kids. I usually tell families, have your kids pick one or two things that they want to do.
Yeah.
Make that list together. Sit down and pull up, you know, or buy my book. Yeah. Or pull up a video or watch, you know, what do they want to do? And so then tailor your itinerary to fit that if you at all possibly can. And I'll be honest with you, 99% of the time you can do that. Now, even with little kids, you got to include them because little kids, don't discount that a five-year-old says, I want to see a bear. Well, you betcha, we can make that happen.
Yes.
Or I want to ride behind a sled dog. Or, you know, they may not know how to say that. I want to see Balto. Okay. Or I want to see Toga because they've watched a movie. Sure. We can make that happen as close to that as possible.
Yes. That's really good advice.
Talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it.
Yep. I took my nieces who are at the time they were in fifth and seventh grade last winter to Fairbanks. And they told me that they wanted to go to Alaska with me. They had not been, my brother has been, but they had not been. And they told me they wanted to go in the winter. And I was like, okay, we'll go in the winter. Yep. And, you know, I'm really lucky because I get to spend a lot of time there at a lot of different times of year. But we did talk about like, okay, why do you want to go in the winter? What do you want to do? And they really wanted to go dog sledding. And I was like, okay, we're going to make this, we're going to build this whole adventure around a dog sledding experience. And I will just add that they were like the perfect age to really love dog sledding. And they didn't freeze, even though it was February in Fairbanks.
If you have the right gear and you have the right frame of mind, and you know, all of us who are parents or aunts or uncles know that you know, a lot of it comes from how we present something to them,
right? Yes, for sure.
You bet. And what an amazing experience for them.
Yes. And we actually, I'll just mention that we went with Chena Outdoor Collective, which is a really small tour company near Fairbanks. And going back to what you said earlier, Aaron, about when you can, finding these like small tour operators that can really understand what you're looking for. And we actually had a podcast episode back, it was episode 21 with Ryan, and she just does an amazing job of being like she said, okay, you know, they're teen girls. You know, I'll make sure that I have, her words, a badass female musher
exactly.
to drive their team. And I was like, cool. Yeah. And then the girls got to go together and then I went with someone else. So just in a small company, you know, you can make those kind of special experiences happen. Like you were talking about, with Seward and Whittier earlier. And
yes.
So just absolutely. Another plug for how awesome that is.
And, you know, I'll say about Chena Outdoor Collective is a perfect example of the learn by doing kind of concept. You're not going on a tour, you're going on an experience. And, you know, the kids who climbed into the sled are not the kids who are going to climb out of the sled.
Yeah.
And that's, again, you know, and you'll hear me say this all the time, that's the kind of experience we want for young people when they come up here. Cause you know, ultimately, Jenny, these are the kids who are going to protect Alaska.
That's eventually. Right.
So why not give them as much information as they possibly can, because they're going to go back and they're going to tell all their pals like, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think part of what you're sharing here, Aaron, is just the value of travel in general, you know, for humans, but especially for children and teens, is like we have new experiences, we learn new things, you know, it really shapes who we are. So
100%. 100%. And it starts, you know, with parents or the adults in these kids' lives. I mean, you know, again, yep. my mom was a former flight attendant and
yeah.
In the 50s and 60s, and she grew up on a ranch in Montana. And when the opportunity came for her to get out and see the world, she said, absolutely. So they were, you know, my parents were very, very much believers in letting their kids experience different places in very different ways too.
Yep. That is huge. All right. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will keep talking with Erin about more travel tips for families in Alaska.
Hi, everyone. Jenny here. I just wanted to drop in and let you know, if you didn't already, that in addition to hosting this podcast and sharing articles about Alaska travel on my website, I also help clients plan their trips to Alaska. And if you are looking to get your trip planned before the holidays, great idea. Then you can go into the busy holiday season as well as the new year with your trip all set to go. So if you want to take advantage of that, you can get started by booking one of my one-on-one sessions that are half an hour long, where I'll answer all your questions and put you in the right direction. The link to sign up for one of those is down in the show notes. Those cost $47. And then if you want me to plan the entire thing for you, so all you have to do is book, which will take you probably about half an hour to 45 minutes, depending on how long your trip is, once I give you everything, then I can do that too. And the pricing for that varies based on the number of days and the type of trip, but the link in the show notes will take you to all of that information. And finally, if you want to do it all yourself, I have a resource to help you with that as well. My Alaska Adventure Travel Planner in Workbook is just the thing you need. It's a digital download. You can use it in Google Sheets, or you can print it and use paper and pencil and a binder if you prefer that. And it'll walk you through every decision you need to make, everything you need to be thinking about, so you don't miss a thing and keep everything organized. I also have a planner like that for cruises and one for driving to Alaska. So the links for all of those are in the show notes. All of the planners are just $24. So you can pick that up and get rolling today. I hope you enjoy.
All right. We are back with Erin Kirkland, the author of two travel books for families about traveling in Alaska with kids that are in the show notes. And we've been talking about some of her favorite places and favorite activities across Alaska with all ages of kids, and also some tips for getting them involved in the travel planning. So now, Erin, it would be great to hear just sort of your general advice for Alaska travel. Not so much the locations, and I feel like we've already gotten into this a little bit, but what is your top tip for traveling in Alaska? Let's do, again, different ages. So let's start with the under fives. What's your, like, if you had just one tip for someone traveling in Alaska with with young children, what would it be?
I would say if you've got very young children, and even into some of those younger school agers, pick a base camp and do like a hub and spoke kind of experience. So yep. pick a region of Alaska and stay in a hotel or stay in cabin or camp or whatever you want to do, but make sure you have a place at the end of the day to come back to that will start to become familiar to those kiddos, and make your excursions and adventures from there. Traveling in Alaska, because of its sheer size and many times the different forms of transportation you have to take to get there, it's very, very tiring for kids. Yeah. I mean, heck, it's tiring for me.
Yes.
So we have to understand, and you'll hear physicians say this all the time, children are not little adults, and they truly, truly do need physically, mentally, emotionally, just to have that base camp downtime space where they can just relax and not be schlepping around from here to there and there to here. And then we have 24 hours in this location and then we have to move on. It's really hard for kids. And I see all the time, you know, parents who are who've got very tired children.
Yes.
And you know, remember too, with littles, it's challenging to get them to go to sleep and wake up and eat and do anything on, you know, without their routine. And you're away from home. Right. If you're visiting in the summer, it's going to be light all the time. Mm-hmm. I will tell you right now, with babies and small children, you be prepared, because it is super hard to get those little nuggets to go sleep when it's 10 p.m. and bright sunshine streaming in your hotel window.
Yes.
Yes. I think that was the summer our son learned to climb out of his pack and play. We went camping and he was about a year right after we'd moved.
Oh gosh,
didn't think about this.
So
pick a base camp, make your routine that you have, at least some semblance of the routine that you have at home, and stick to it and lower your expectations, parents.
Yes. Man, that's such good advice, Erin. I mean, the going to less places total, I think, is good advice for everyone. And then I think for especially just have one base camp and just settle in there.
Yes.
Yes.
Now I will take that into the next demographic of kids as well.
Perfect.
So if you've got young grade schoolers, now think back to when your kids started kindergarten. Remember when they came home that first maybe week, maybe for some first month, and they were exhausted and cranky. And, you know, this is where the forced family fun does not work, because these kids are old enough to verbalize that they are tired or hungry or they don't like this thing.
Yeah.
And they do need a little bit of that same base camp, chill out time, watch a movie, whatever routine from home. Now, when you get into the older elementary school kiddos who are constantly, you know, fine, let them stay up all night. When are you going to have this opportunity again to say that I went to Alaska in, you know, and it was June, and I played with the neighbor kids where our Airbnb was, and it was 1 a.m. when I went to bed. Well, you bet. How cool is that?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Let them do it. Now I will add to that, that if, you know, they're running wild for a week, plan your itinerary, if you're going to move about, to have down days every couple days. So stay over an extra day and make zero plans other than those that your child makes.
Yes.
So if your kid says, I want to go sit on the lakeshore here all day, or just stay at the campsite or stay in the RV, you betcha.
Yep.
Or we'll make that happen.
Yes.
Yeah. We are raising children these days in over everything. Overstimulated, overtraveled, overeducated with some stuff, right? Like our kids are so busy. Let's let them drive the bus here.
Yeah.
When it comes to vacation.
Yep. I totally agree. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, like, playing with neighborhood kids. I think it is really important for people to know that if you are staying in an Airbnb or a Vrbo in a neighborhood, or you've rented an RV and you're staying in a campground, local kids will be playing outside at all hours for sure.
Yep.
So just know that.
Embrace it.
Yeah. Just if your kids are old enough to run with that, that's such good advice to just be like, if you can't beat them, join them, you know?
No, totally. And actually, that is also an essential strategy towards, you know, the kids understanding what it's like to grow up here. Go to the local playground. Or if you're in a really small area, go to the school and just play on the playground there, and just let them meet other kids. It's so, my son has met so many young people. I remember we were in Cold Bay. We were taking the Alaska Marine Highway down to Dutch Harbor, and, you know, he's in his rain suit, and we get to the Cold Bay school, and there's a couple kids out there just playing on, like, this 1950s playground equipment.
Yes.
You know, the metal slides and the,
right, the stuff that's just
kill you.
Definitely not allowed in cities anymore.
No, and they're out there just having a blast in their little, you know, rain suits and extra tufts. And that, I think the takeaway from that was just so much more than, you know, okay, now we're going to go to another museum.
Yes.
That had very little relevance for a 9-year-old.
And you know, that reminds me too, back in episode 20, which was with Serena Reeves from The Milepost, and we were talking about, the episode is about road trips in Alaska. However, Serena had some great advice about road trips with kids.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So if you are planning a trip with kids, you might also want to listen to that episode. And one of the things that she called out, she's a born and raised Alaskan, and she has young children who are like young elementary school and preschool right now. And she talked about the playgrounds also, and how many awesome playgrounds there are and how great of a diversion that is to like find a playground and just play there for however long.
And also local libraries. Go to the local library. And if your kids are just so wound up or so tired, or, you know, the weather is just hideous and their stuff hasn't dried out from yesterday.
Yeah.
Go to the library. Yep. There's story hours. And again, you're going to meet kids from all over the place. And the local libraries are full of Alaska-centric stories that you probably won't find in your libraries at home.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then you could talk to the other parents and be like, hey, so what do you do when, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay. So teenagers, top tip for Alaska with teens.
So we touched on this a little bit previously, but let them pick the activities they want to do.
Yep.
And you don't have to like it, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa.
Yeah.
Let them pick something or several somethings that they would like to do. And also occasionally give them the time to themselves. If they don't want to go out to dinner, or they don't want to go, you know, to the museum, that's okay. Let them just kind of hang out and have their own downtime. Teenagers now, you know, that, and especially those who became teenagers during COVID, I mean, that they really had to regroup with their social life and things, and they're going to want to stay connected to their peers. So let them send awesome pictures of the things they've done. And, you know, going on vacation is different for a teenager. We all remember vacationing with our families as teenagers, don't we?
Yes.
So remember that. Remember that there were moments you hated and moments you thought were great, but, you know, let them pick and choose. And you might be surprised at what they choose, actually, also.
Yeah.
I would have expected my son to absolutely hate fly fishing, but I'll be darned if he just didn't, man, the kid just got it. And he had a blast. He had a great guide. When we were out in the Tordrillos, and oh my gosh, I still have a picture of him on my laptop, because he just was so filled with joy that he had managed to learn to fly fish in a matter of hours and caught an amazing trout. So
it was
super cool. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's funny, because the first time that I ever went to Alaska was as a teenager with my family.
Uh-huh.
And my parents I was very lucky in many ways with my parents, but one is in the travel arena. My parents are both also born in Seattle, but they both grew up overseas. And so they had like being a good traveler as being a very high value.
Yeah.
So everything from like helping plan trips to, you know, I remember in sixth grade, my dad being like, you need to carry this bag for two blocks. And if you're not happy about it, then you need to take some things out, you know, stuff like that.
Natural consequences.
Yes. But it's funny, because when you were talking about, you know, just kind of normal experiences. So on that trip, we were visiting family. But my dad's aunt and uncle, who we were staying with, had a trampoline in their backyard. And I know now a lot of people have trampolines, but back then in the early 90s, it was kind of a big deal to have a trampoline. Yeah. But there were a lot in Alaska. And the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about that trip was the multiple all-nighters that my brother and I pulled on that trampoline for, like, you know, going out there at midnight until, you know, like 2 a.m. and then doing that the next night. And there are many other things I remember about the trip, but that's always the first thing that comes to my mind was just sort of the feral late night trampolining.
I love that word, feral children, because I think I think it's so appropriate for Alaska kids, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, we're raising feral children, but these kids, man, they're savvy about things is pretty high. Funny little sidebar story. We went to Victoria, BC when our son was probably about four. And then we were going to catch the ferry over to Port Angeles here. And we were walking through huge park in Victoria, British Columbia. And our son's like swinging his head around all over. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing? He goes, are there any bears here? And I said, nope, no bears here. And he's like, moose? No, no moose here. You're good. And he just, you know, because kids are raised from such a young age to be situationally aware about, especially wildlife. And for a four-year-old to automatically start looking for wildlife.
Right. Like, what are the hazards here, mom, that I need to worry about?
Yeah. And that's, an amazing skill for kids to have, especially as they grow up, because it's very important book. But most kids don't get that chance. So I used to tell him all the time, like my friend, instead of saying, do you know how lucky you are, young man?
Yeah.
I'd say, listen, you know, we get to be here. We get to wake up every morning in a place that people save money their entire life to come visit for a week.
Yeah.
And you get to be here, my friend. And I'll tell you the biggest, proudest mom moment ever was when he was interviewed for a story. I think it was an Australian writer. And she asked him, I kind of was listening. And he says, well, my mom says that we get to be here a lot. And he says, I didn't get it, but I do now. And I was like, okay, there you go.
Good job, mom.
Yeah. So my point being that they do absorb everything that's going on, and we just have to give them the tools and the time to do that.
Yep. For sure. Okay. I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, but is there anything else you want to add, Erin, around cruising with children? I know you talked before about small ship experiences with a smaller number of people. Mm-hmm. Is there anything other than that that you'd want to add?
Oh, gosh, yes. So the bulk of Alaska's 2 million visitors come aboard cruise ships. So it is highly likely that a family is going to visit via that way. So I do have a couple tips. Having cruised on the larger ships in and around Alaska, remembering that, you know, it's a very wonderful way to see Alaska the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But I always encourage people to come back and catch maybe the experiences that they didn't do the first time or that they'd like to know more about. So, so it's an excellent way to get a surface knowledge base about Alaska. The other piece is, I wish the cruise lines would do a little bit better job of this, is really dress your kids appropriately for the weather. Cruise ships sail Southeast Alaska, which is the rainiest section of the state and much of the United States.
Yeah.
So it's more likely than not that it's going to be raining when you are there. And wet, cold kids are miserable kids.
Yeah.
So I have a whole chapter in the books about how to dress your kids and what to pack. And even with the age range. So you got to invest in the good rain gear, pants and coat. You got to invest in boots that they're going to be able to walk a long way in.
Yep.
You know, hat, gloves, mittens, whatever you need, so they're going to have a good time outside no matter what the weather is.
Yep.
And then my final piece of advice is to not always assume that you need to do the shore excursions that the larger cruise lines have.
Yep.
So, you know, they'll tell you that, you know, well, we can't guarantee, you know, that the boat will still be here if you get back late. You know, if you don't book with us, those folks will always come back on time. That's while that's sort of true, it's not necessarily true. So, you know, be an adult and just know that you have to be back because the captain says we're leaving at 8 p.m. So step off that cruise ship dock and find your own fun.
Yeah.
Go back to that playground, find where all the local kids are. And it depends on how long you're in port of call too, right?
Yes.
So if you're in there for 3 hours, you know, walk the kids around, go eat some local food, go to the playground, and let them stretch their legs a while and cool, you're good.
Yep.
If you're there for 12 hours, which some ports of call are like that, in some cities, you can even rent a car for the day. And especially a place like Juneau, go drive down to Mendenhall Glacier and in the valley area there and, you know, go experience that, go for a hike. Don't feel like you have to be tied to what the cruise line is telling you.
Yeah.
So that is probably my biggest piece of advice is do some independent traveling while, you know, use the cruise ship as your transportation and your meals and things like that. But man, step away and make your own fun.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think going back to what you said earlier about hiking and exploring and how great of an experience that is with kids, you know, every Southeast Alaska cruise port has trails and hikes that you can do right from the dock. So, you know, that is one way to do it. Finding the playground, like you said, local food. Those are great.
100% great ideas. Get out there and get to know the city you're in. You know, there's always this push and pull with the cruise lines and the communities, in which they tie up for a few hours or you know, several. Get to know that community a little bit, you know, do them the honor of understanding Ketchikan and Juneau and Sitka, possibly Wrangell. And, you know, become a little bit more knowledgeable about who lives there and why they live there and what their background is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. All right. Anything else about cruising before we move towards wrapping up, Erin?
And I would say, don't be afraid. You know, if people say, should I go early in the year season? Should I go later in the season? If you are prepared clothing wise, go early or later. Boy, the cruise season is stretching into October now. So September and late September, early October is stunningly beautiful. My goodness, you're going to get like the Northern British Columbia, Southeast, you know, colors, that wildlife is still super active, especially the bears. Mm-hmm. Don't think that you have to cruise in the middle of summer. And you might have a savings too.
Yes. Great. Okay. Well, Erin, we're going to move into the wrap-up questions that I ask every guest, but I am going to put a little bit of a twist on it, given our topic today. Okay. So the first one is, what are some of your favorite kid-friendly restaurants in Alaska? And I will let you define kid-friendly however you want to.
Having an extremely picky eater who used to live in my house.
even better. I didn't know that. So that makes your advice even more valuable. Yeah.
So, one, you got to find a restaurant that is going to accommodate your child or children, right?
Yep.
So do they have a kid menu? Do they have appropriate seating? If your kid's throwing a tantrum in the booth, or, you know, are they going to freak out? So here in Anchorage, I will say the Glacier Brew House in downtown Anchorage does a fantastic job of serving families with kids. It has been my son's favorite restaurant since we moved here, and I just took him there for his 19th birthday.
That's a great place.
They, you know, and a lot of people say, oh, it's just for all the tourists. I'm like, no, it's not. It's actually for everybody. And it's the only place he will eat seafood. And that would be their calamari.
That is so funny.
The only seafood the boy will eat is there at the Glacier Brew House. So Glacier Brew House is great. We love to go there. I personally love the cookery down in Seward.
Yep.
Because sometimes moms just need their own food. But generally, and you know, what's awesome about Alaska is that the breweries and tap rooms, well, mostly the breweries, have restaurants attached to them or food trucks attached to them. So that those are the places where your family is going to be welcome. You know, they'll have root beer, cream soda, or something for your kids, and the food is just going to be solid. So, you know, more than specific places, we usually would gravitate toward like brew house type establishments where the grownups can get what they need.
Everyone's happy.
Yes, totally. And the other thing to remember, parents, is just, you know, do your best with offering nutritious things. But oh my gosh, you know, they'll be okay. They'll really be okay. And if you can pull over and find a blueberry patch the end of summer, highly recommend that.
Yes.
Let them eat. Yep.
Totally.
Yeah.
Agree with that. One other thing, I'm curious if you have any advice about this, Erin, but just one thing that I tell adults, not only children, but I know it's a bigger challenge when you have children, is that often, especially in the summer, especially in really busy places, there can be an extremely long wait. And service is not necessarily fast in Alaska. People are often thrown by that. They're like, well, I love this restaurant, but service was slow. And it's like, yeah, well, service is slow. So I'm curious what, I love the food truck idea for that reason, because a food truck is fast.
The kids can get up and walk around and
especially those food trucks that are like near tap rooms or whatever. But, and do you have any other advice about navigating that?
So going back to the Glacier Brew House, in the summertime, if you do not have reservations, you will not get in. You just won't. I mean, never mind the 2 hour wait. You won't even get that. So check the restaurant's website first. Like before you even leave home. I mean, like your original home. Check home out home. Where you might want to eat. And start making reservations in the summertime, particularly some places, even on the weekend. Now also double check and make sure that this restaurant is just not a seasonal restaurant, because many families have reported to me that they wanted to go to a certain place and it found it wasn't open. I said, well, it's November.
If they are open in November, it might just be 2 days a week or three.
Hours will change and, you know, days of the week will change and things like that. And then finally, you know, every parent knows you got to bring your little bag of tricks anytime you go out to eat with kids. Now, what I like to do is create little like visual scavenger hunts for them. So for kids, I learned this trick during long bus rides with youngsters, is that I would just write down things that they could do seated. Okay, so, you know, here's this list of things. I need you to find a waiter with a bow tie. I need you to find somebody drinking a beer. You know, I mean, whatever it's going to take.
Stay excited.
Keep their little bodies and minds occupied while you're waiting for food, which, you know, and it's also a great discussion topic. You know, have a little grace. These people are serving you. Maybe the person before you spilled something and we just have to do our best, you know, and when all else fails, go outside for a little walk while you're waiting.
All fantastic. Tips.
We've all been there.
Yes, for sure. Erin, what is your favorite month in Anchorage?
September, all of Alaska, September.
September is a wonderful.
So it's stunningly beautiful. It's kind of like the whole landscape is just taking a breath, right? You know, tourists notwithstanding, you know, there's a saying that Alaskans are tired in the winter because it's dark all the time, and we're tired in the summer because it's light all the time.
Yes, that's so true.
We are so frenetic during the summer months. We get up early, we're busy all day. Maybe we'll go for a hike after work or school, and then we're still staying up. Maybe I'll go mow my lawn at 9. September is this chance to just slow your roll a little bit and just observe what's going on around you. Now, conversely, nature, like animals, are crazy busy.
Yeah, they're getting they're on the hustle.
So
for
they're
sure.
Like, uh-oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I better eat that last little bit there. So yeah, it's just, it's, you know, it's always been my favorite month, no matter where I am, but in Alaska particularly, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So finally, okay, Aaron, what is your favorite thing to do with your own kids in Alaska? And I know your kids are grown, so you can either answer that for like right now today, or you could pick a time in the past and answer for that instead.
If you I'll answer for today because I'm just happy. Perfect. They want to hang out with me, right?
Yeah. So, yes.
You know, for us, the big value just lies in grabbing the dogs, grabbing the boys or boy or whoever is coming along that day, and we just go find a trail and just go hike. That has been for our family and, you know, my family, you know, their grandparents, that is our thing. When stuff is crazy, let's just saddle up and go out into the woods for a while. So that's where we reconnect. That's where we see things. And personally, for me, that is my reset. And if I am not out in the woods every day, or outside, you know, in nature somehow every day, then my day is not complete.
Yeah.
So, So that is our thing.
Love
and
it.
And the fewer people, the better.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm that person that finds the quiet trailhead, goes down that.
Love it. Aaron, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your expertise. And for those of you listening, parents especially, I really recommend grabbing Aaron's book if you are looking for some help with planning a great trip with kids. So thank you so much, Aaron.
Absolutely. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was really fun. And to all of you listening, thank you for joining us for this episode of Alaska Uncovered. If you haven't already, sign up for my email list to get my Alaska travel tips every Thursday in your inbox instead of in your earbuds. And also, you can follow us on Instagram at the Alaska Uncovered Podcast. That's our handle. Bye for now.